Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Greg is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is Six Rings.
The dynasty continues.
And football things.
The X, the Z, vertical routes.
I love football, man.
With your host, Andy Hart.
Andy Hart is a football genius.
I'm not going to pretend I sit down and watch the All 22.
Next question, Andy Hart, please.
Nick Fitzy Stevens.
Is that Fitzy with you this morning?
Absolutely not, Fitzy.
This just in, I'm dead inside.
And Chris Schein.
Derek Carr, however, is a guy I would ride tonight.
I think Matt Patricia's a boob.
Ladies and gentlemen, Patriots fans across the globe, welcome to a very special day here at Odyssey and WEEI. The Off Day podcast, sadly, shed a tear, drink a beer, is no more. We are now officially Six Rings and Football Things. I'm one of your co-hosts from the Off Day podcast from WEEI.com, Andy Hart, and we will be joined through wherever this journey takes us for however long it takes us. By Chris Schein, Schein Time, Greg, the producer, obviously joined me in the Off Day podcast, and a man who needs no introduction, has multiple names to go along with multiple personalities, Nick Fitzy Stevens, Patriots superfan, and we are embarking on this new journey called, as I said, Six Rings and Football Things, where we hope very honestly to create just a community of Patriots talk. We are not talking at you. We are talking with you. We want to debate. We want to love. We want to hate. But we want to be a brotherhood and sisterhood where I can call Scheim stupid or I can call him a genius. And we're only allowed to do that. I don't want outsiders. You need to join the community of Six Rings and Football Things. So without further ado, Fitzy, since you are already sort of like a little mayor of your little corner of Patriot Nation,
My little Foxborough fiefdom, if you will.
Yes. Where do we go from here as we try to create this honest community of, as I said, I'm seen as negative at times when you and I do our radio shows.
You don't say.
Occasionally.
Pretty sure it's in your open, actually.
I think it's miscast. I mean, it's a character that was sort of placed upon me. I'm not sure I earned it or actually live it. But we're coming off of an event, the 2022 NFL Draft, which I think is really tailor-made for us to do our first show, recapping a draft where I feel like people are torn, Fitzy. It's like, in Bill we trust, but I'm still not sure how good I feel about taking a guard in the first round or taking a receiver three rounds before everybody else said he should have gone and then taking a returner who is shorter than Andy Hart and has two bad shoulders, but maybe can help you in the slot. So, Fitzy, give me the quick answer, because I've been talking for way too long. What is the Fitzy honest reaction to the Patriots draft?
Well, gentlemen, first time, long time. Thanks very much. I appreciate you guys having me here. Big fan of the show. Big fan of the show. I'm super excited that in this next iteration, shedding the booster rockets on the voyage to Pat's Nation and outer space, wherever it goes, God only knows. Super excited to be working with you guys. Andy, you and I need more time together, finally. We blog for the website. We do Saturdays together. We'll be working together a ton this fall. We are the official new odd couple of Pat's Nation. And to have Scheim Time come in as sort of like the Twitch era, next-gen analytics guy, your knowledge is awesome, Scheim. Like, you're kind of fair and balanced, which is great. probably because you good, you have a good center of mass and you got a, you have a nice trunk.
Wow.
As well. No, he's admitted
as taking
much
shots
before.
Already.
All no, right, yeah. Come on, we're a family. We're
I do enjoy
to do
a good
things.
Tortellini.
Well, you do rest it on your belly like a pregnant woman while eating in bed, correct?
You nailed it. It was I don't great. Need the more.
Other,
that was
the other day. Something was happening on the midday show before you filled in recently, Andy, and they were talking about someone in Vegas whose last name was Marinara or something, and then some joke was made that it was going to be Fitzy and Marinara weekends on the on WE, and I was like, is that a new nickname for Shime? Because he doesn't.
It's my alter ego, actually. It's my gambling exactly. alter ego. And Fitzy, it's my stage
and,
name.
And you've got one, too. So yours is Marinara, Fitzy for Nick Stevens.
Eddie Marinara.
It all comes together. This has been plenty of grab ass to open the show. Andy, I'm fired up for this. And as far as like having a nice juicy tomahawk ribeye of a topic to tear into for show number one, the 2022 NFL draft, I'm going to continue with the phrase that I coined on Maloney and Fourier. I have ridden straight across the socials right into episode one of Six Rings and Football Things. It was the most quintessentially obtusely Belichickian draft possible. It was this Vegas buffet, if you will, of distressed assets, reaches, grabs, high Foxborough value picks. And I just can't help but wonder why Bill Belichick, when everyone travels south in the winter, why he thinks it's the perfect time to go north. Why when we sit down at a burger joint, he orders the fish. He always acts like he knows something different. And look. It's worked for multiple decades now. I get it. Albeit, you know, the great balm, the great Band-Aid, the great solvent that was Tom Brady and his 19 years of brilliance is gone. And so you're asking more of your new coaching staff and its non-traditional format. You're asking more of your second-year quarterback. You're asking more of a defense that is obviously in flux and in transition now because Lord only knows what it's going to look like in its new hybrid iteration. And you're asking a lot of an offense that you basically just bought a little bit over a year ago and recently drafted. There's pressure now stressed out on every single front in a draft that may pay off in a year, two or three. But to tell you right now that I anything but don't love this draft would be me wearing the hoodie footy pajamas of Smurlis Diassi and Glenn Ordway lore on WEEI. I can't do it. The Foxborough fanboy, I'm not in love with it now. Damn, is it going to be a review on this in a couple of years?
Yeah, I am extremely underwhelmed is the word I've come to use.
Operatively understandable, Shime. Operatively
yeah, like I don't want to sound super negative, but at the same time, I'm starting to fight with Matt Chatham on Twitter because over taking a guard in the first round. Like it's just, I've come to the point where it's just like, I think it's stupid. I said it, Fitzy, you and I have talked about this before. Mm-hmm. I didn't want an effing guard in the first round. That was kind of my mentality.
Andy, Shime is so insistent upon this. I have promised him I'm going to print up shirts for all of us. I don't want an effing guard in the first round. I feel like that's our first hashtag or the new mantra of the show.
I agree with him because, first of all, you created the need yourself.
Correct.
With the trade of Shaq Mason to the Bucks to save a little cap money, open up some avenues to do a little bit here and there with your Brill Peppers and Devontae Parker and whatever. And that's great. Like, you made your team better with those two additions. I firmly believe that. Those mm-hmm. two guys can contribute and help you.
Right.
But you created a need at guard. So if Cole Strange, who we're talking about, out of Tennessee Chattanooga, who the best player before him drafted out of Tennessee Chattanooga was named Terrell Owens, I actually might prefer Terrell Owens over Cole, but that's a cheap shot.
I would say
at this
yes.
point.
He is part of the fans. You call it please program me football league or whatever the hell that joke operation is.
I think I saw a touchdown in the back corner of the end zone from him, like red zone target. I'd still give him a chance. Anyway, but Cole Strange, who at this point feels like A is going to be maybe the only or one of the few contributing members of the 10-person Patriots 2022 draft class. Looks right. like he should be. I mean, he'll be a disappointment if he doesn't start. He's slotted for a starting job. But I also feel like even if he's a combination of Shaq Mason and Logan Mankins, who he's being mm-hmm. compared to, the last first-round guard back in the day who became, you know, a team Hall of Fame caliber player, all pro, all of that.
Yep, currently nominated for the Hall of Fame and also from a small school, Fresno State, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's a bigger school, I think, than Tennessee Chattanooga. But yes, not the successful SEC draft of a year ago or big school draft of a year ago where it was like Alabama, Oklahoma. Yes, we'll take those guys. But even if he's good, does that make you better?
I don't really think so. And like, look, I mean, you're immediately, even if he is good, right? Even if he is Logan Mankins good, it's going to take him a little bit to get there, which immediately is a step back from Shaq Mason. Right. And on top of that, I think there's almost equally as good of a chance the way Belichick has drafted since he came here to New England that Chasen Hines and Andrew Stuber.
Are
80 to 90% of what Cole Strange is. And you got them in the sixth and seventh round. And to me, that's good process. Getting those guys in the sixth or seventh round. If one of the two of them pans out, like Ted Karras or Shaq Mason or Joe Tooney, Michael Onwenu.
And look where
like,
all the guards.
That's the great process.
Yeah, and look where all the guards have come from, Shyam. In recent year on the Patriots, like Shaq Mason was a fifth round pick,
Georgia Tech,
a high running team. Taken, I believe, actually a couple picks after Trey Jackson in that particular draft who didn't pan out, but he did. 50-50 hit rate on a fourth or fifth round guard is awesome. That's why you draft a couple of them. Like Chasen Hines may not work out, and Stuba could be a boss, or maybe Stuber doesn't, but then Chasen Hines turns into your next Marcus Cannon. Who knows? Joe Tooney, he's a third round selection. Ted Karras was his fourth round selection, I believe.
Yep.
Mike Onwenu's a sixth round selection. Stephen Neal was a prospect and a project way back in the day. Like they find these guys. So for Belichick and Matt Groh, the Bellabot, to basically reach at that point and to grab a guard, no matter what Mike Giardi may have said on NFL Network, that he can confirm that there was a team likely to take him in the 40s. I had heard that there was a team likely in the 30s that was going to take him. I don't care. That's fine. Maybe another team was a guard away, even though we all know the operative phrase or one of the great cliches of football is you're never a guard away, right?
Just because one team is willing to reach doesn't make it right for you to then reach.
And like Andy said, you created the need when you dealt away Shaq Mason, who nobody was ready to uncouple from because he was Pro Football Focus's favorite New England Patriot in 2021. I want to ask this just to see either like you're crazy, Fitzy, but thanks for bringing your particular brand of Foxborough fanboy to the program. Or, hey, we'll knock it about for a second. Do you think there is any chance at all, because Cole Strange is just so damn big? It's weird to have a guard that's almost as tall as a left tackle. Do you think there is any chance that they drafted him with the thinking that they may be able to eventually turn him into a left tackle?
I don't. It seems like the general consensus is if he goes anywhere, it's center. It's stepping inside, not outside.
He's just so big, though.
Hey, you need size.
That's how it is nowadays, right? Though.
Would David Bakhtiari play center?
The interior guys are growing. I will say that. Yes. The days of outside is 6'5". Inside is like the 6'3", 2", like you can be shorter, centers can be like, it's growing where now outside is 6'8", 6'7", and you're getting the 6'4" interior offensive lineman. So yeah, I mean, certainly that would help his value. Like if you're selling the Strange pick, and I love saying that, the Strange pick.
Great. That picture of Jonathan and Robert holding up the jersey as he's smiling with his country scrub on his face, and right behind him, it just says Strange. It's truly my favorite page. It's so great. It's glorious.
And it's like, I'm able to take a shot at something without taking a shot at something. No, I'm just stating the facts. It was a strange pick. That's literally what it is, Bill. Literally. Strange pick. Big S. Sorry. You can't get defensive. And we should mention, adding to the obtusely Belichickian nature of this, which I agree with Fitzy. I wrote the column on brand. It's the Belichick script. Traded down from 21. Where he passed on a starting caliber cornerback. The biggest need for the Patriots this year, heading into the draft, a lot of people believed was corner to replace J.C. Jackson. Everybody said, you're not going to get a starter. There's only three starting caliber cornerbacks in this draft. Sauce Gardner, Derek Stingley Jr., and Trent McDuffie. They're going to be gone by the time 21 comes. Well, guess freaking what? Trent McDuffie was on the board. Patriots trade out. Chiefs trade in. Old friend Andy Reid says, yeah, I'll take a starting cornerback at 21. And this is going to be content upon entertaining content for this season, next season, because we're going to just be talking about not only is Cole Strange any good, but the guys you passed on, Devin Lloyd's in there somewhere. Could have had Devin Lloyd, the popular linebacker pick.
Jermaine Johnson.
Dimes boy Jermaine Johnson, who went to the Jets, who didn't just win the 2022 NFL draft. They owned it. They smoked it. They stomped on it. They walked away from it in slow motion. They flicked a cigarette on it and watched it burn up in front of everyone's eyes. The Jets crushed it. I mean, like, they went after that draft like it killed its dog and they were John Wick. It was un-effing believable the way the Jets dominated that draft.
I think we might have to stop and begin recording again because I was told I was the negative guy and Fitzy was the rah-rah.
I know. These are strange feelings here, too. It's like my voice changing. I woke up one day and I had facial hair or something. I'm not sure if I'm going through like Patriots fan puberty or something right now because like – these are all my.
Well, this is life without Tom Brady, Fitzy. Welcome to the new world.
Yeah, but like Shime, honestly, I was one of the only Cam Newton defenders at the station. I took shot after shot from the listening audience, from my own viewership, from Keith, from Fourier, everybody, and deservedly so. Obviously, I stepped up to the plate and said they'd go 12-5, then 11-6 last year. They come in underwhelmingly and go 10-7 with that dismal December and that awful playoff no show against Buffalo, where they had their jowls and doors blown off and handed back to them on a silver platter. And it was that game and the lingering stench, the microwaved broccoli stench of that December and the playoff defeat to Buffalo that left everyone saying, get me weapons. We need a corner. You have all these different things you need to address because they were slow and there was no tough and no compete. We can all at least admit that they definitely got tougher and they definitely got faster in this draft. But the big question, Andy, going forward is, okay, Bill, I got it. So your brilliant gridiron mind said, we need speed, we need tough. I'm going to lock in on the guys I think are Fitz and Foxborough, and we're going to get them. That's great. When, how, and where are these guys going to apply? Because I think I also agree that we see one potential starter out of this crew, and I think maybe two to three others make, if not sizable, reasonable contributions in 2022. This just in, that ain't going to knock Buffalo off the AFC perch or help you compete with the AFC West, which is on roids.
Yeah, I would actually push back on, you said two or three. I think you're like one and a half. I feel good that.
Well, I think Marcus Jones can contribute at least on special teams.
That's the half. If he's not a corner, you didn't really help me. Yes. Fair. And guess what? Nobody returns kicks anymore either. So really, he's a punt returner. We can say he's a returner. He's a punt returner. And you're right. If he is what the unfair comps are being made, which is Devin Hester and Dante Hall, yes, he will be fun. He will be an impact returner. We also need to remember, quote unquote, 2 years ago, you had an all-pro punt returner. Like, you had an all-pro punt returner.
Yeah, but he hit the wall wicked
fraud.
In 2021.
You turned on him because he plays for a different team now.
No, I didn't. Just because
he's a stealer.
Because he went to Yinsburg. Hey, listen.
You fraud.
Yins don't mean to be nebby or nothing. But too bad. Yeah, you know what? It was fun rooting for him, Andy, until the guy absolutely completely lost all of his pandemic football mojo. How good was Gunnar? Last year, it was literally 12 yards. And then let's watch him throw himself drunkenly into a pile of tacklers as if he fell off a building. He wasn't good. Tell me what part of Gunnar Olszewski. The fact that Pittsburgh was willing to pay him $4.2 million and take
good
that problem
Pittsburgh.
Off his hand, good for him. Now he can grab the Chevy and get her done in Yinsburg. I'm good. Thank you for – he gave us some entertainment during the pandemic, but otherwise I don't need kind of the runner. I'm still mad about the fact that they kept Olszewski and didn't keep freaking McCaffrey's man buddy down there with the Jets. What's his face? Braxton Berrios. Like, we should have kept Berrios.
Losing his mind.
No, I'm not.
Remember names here. Settle in.
I thought he was. I was very much under the impression that for the most part, Fitzy was going to be the fanboy. I was going to be supremely negative, and Andy would be somewhere in the middle.
What part of being a fan doesn't allow you to get fired up? Fan is short for fanatic, right. And I am fanatic about the draft. I'm fanatic about this team, and I'm on fire over the fact that Olszewski stunk last season. He shouldn't be in town. Marcus Jones definitely should be the return of the future, maybe mixed in with a little Tyquan Thornton. Like, at least that part of the game has been intensified. Hell, Andy, I sat there at the end of the draft as we were wrapping up our radio show Saturday, waiting for the Patriots to select the punt god so that Belichick could save some money over Jake Bailey, spin him for a seventh somewhere else, save a couple million, and then get his left-footed super kick and dream. And instead, he went to a team in his division that, God willing, if they actually ever make him take the field this season, can turn the field on you like that with his cannon of a left leg.
That's genius by Bill Belichick. He allowed the punt god to go to a team that will never hurt the Patriots. Because they don't punt
against they'll never beat the Bills.
Nope. It's genius. He's a real American genius. He's a real six rings and football things genius of
chess over check is mofo.
Damn right.
I was stunned by it, but like the second you said that on the radio Saturday, I was like, I think Andy Hart made me smile for the first time.
You know what makes us smile in Patriot Nation, hopefully, is the new Six Rings and Football Things podcast. If you want to join the family, get us wherever you get podcasts, preferably the Odyssey app. That would be our first choice for you to join us in that fun.
But Andy, also, I listen on Spotify and Apple.
I don't care. Anywhere you listen, I'm happy you're listening. Please subscribe.
Damn right.
Leave a rating if you want. Tell a friend, because we do honestly want to create a little bit of a community here. We all know Fitzy is the super fan, goes to games. He's not opposed to doing a little meet up with fans at a bar. Maybe he's in Miami late in the year, one of those trips, and boom, Fitzy invites the Six Rings and Football Things family. Now, me, on the other hand, I don't like people, so I will never do that. I'll stay away from people as much as I can. But in the confines of this podcast, please follow us. You can follow us. Shine, here's where I need your technical advice. I believe if you already follow us on Instagram and Twitter, the social accounts, that will roll right over from off day into Six Rings and Football Things.
That is correct. So as of right now, if you're already following Off Day Podcast on Twitter, don't worry. Your follow isn't going anywhere. It's just going to change. And once we have the official Twitter handle, we can start pushing that come next week. So for now, go follow Off Day if it's still there. It probably isn't, but...
We're professional.
That was probably one of the most well-informed ringing endorsements as to why somebody should dedicate some of their listening space between their two ears to a football podcast, if ever. And also, you can always follow all of us individually on our socials for updates at Jumbo Hart, at Fitzy GFY, and of course, the one and only at Shime Time.
You know what that was called? We talked a lot about Gunner right there. That was organized chaos. That was beautiful. Just like special teams, organized chaos. Now, Chris, Shime Time. I know you wanted to get into, you're big into the dork world of Rich Keefe and alternate universes. I don't really play in that world. I started watching The Flash on TV for a while and I loved it until they hired like six different alternate universes with different flashes coming from one to the other. But you would like to dabble in an alternate universe draft? Is that what I...
Yeah, so I thought it would be interesting to take a bit of an angle here. You can choose whichever you will. What would you have done if you had stayed at 21? If you had traded at 29, would you have picked somebody other than Cole Strange, Doctor Strange? Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness is actually going to be coming into theaters right around the time this podcast goes live. So
I'm more excited about that than I am Cole Strange.
So you and I both.
How dare you?
Or would you have pulled a second Bill Belichick and then traded down from 29 into the second round and tried to draft Cole Strange there?
Well, wait a minute. You're missing the you left out an option. An option. It was a drum that I was beating hard.
Oh, trade up. Or would you have traded up in the draft?
Right.
I was beating drum hard. Nothing else. Just a drum that I was beating.
Just a drum. Yes.
It was a small drum.
So it was a large snare drum, a huge drum. You need your feet and your hands. One of those kinds of drums.
Pedal. Okay.
Yes. Pedal drum. So everybody told me the reason I couldn't trade up for Jameson Williams or anybody else, an impact blue chip player, was that, no, they got too many holes. They need all these picks. They took 10 players and we've decided that maybe one, two, two and a half will contribute in 2022. So why could you not have traded those picks that aren't going to play to get an impact player earlier in the draft?
On top of that, to add to your point there, Andy, not only did you get 10 players where only maybe two or three tops will contribute this year, you got a bunch of players at positions you didn't even necessarily need. You drafted two running backs. You really only needed to draft one. Mm-hmm. And that's a Damian Harris contingency plan as it is anyways. So that's an extra pick.
Time out. Give me a quick 20.
Yep.
We didn't need a running back at all.
No. I understand. But looking ahead, I understand this is how Belichick operates.
I believe that's an agree to disagree. Okay.
Quick 20. You know what kind of teams look ahead?
Bad teams. Smart teams.
Good teams have the ability to look ahead. Bad teams are dumb when they look ahead. So In the old days, when Bill Belichick drafted Nate Solder a year before Matt Light left, genius.
Big brain.
When he drafted, let's say James White a year before Shane Vereen leaves, because Shane Vereen has a big Super Bowl and gets a little money.
Big brain.
Genius. Mm-hmm. When you don't measure up and some people think you're the 12th best team in your conference that is littered with elite talent all over the field, you can't be thinking for 2023. You don't have that luxury.
Well, so in my head then, but what if it wasn't for 2023, right? What if his plan is to trade Damian Harris before the season starts?
And then
you're rolling with Ramondre and Pierre Strong.
Are you talking about? You're trading arguably one of their most proven, solid leaders.
One of the best pros. I'm just saying,
what if he is involved? And this is me being fanboy optimism now. What if he is involved in a big trade to bring a more high profile player here?
I can't see that happening. And Andy, I understand why you don't like the concept of pantry stocking when there are more obvious needs right now for the 2022 team. Yes,
you are starving.
But at the same, oh, guys, come on. Let's not pretend that they didn't go 10-7. Let's not pretend that they still don't have talent.
Just because they went 10-7 last year doesn't mean you're going to go 10-7 again.
I didn't necessarily say that they would. I don't think they're going to go 10-7 this year.
I believe Fitzy.
Yep.
You, in our previous segment, went on a J-E-T-S, Jets rampage, telling me how good a draft they had. I agree with you. First time ever. I actually agree with you.
It's an honest assessment. You cannot do anything but think that they shot a laser from the frickin' moon at the draft and blew it up.
So, Fitzy.
Yeah?
Give me a ranking of the teams in the AFC East based upon their talent.
Oh, man. That's the Buffalo Bills followed by a rugby scrum of three teams that are going to have to emerge from the dogfight of 2022 to prove who the
being a punani right now, and you know there's a chance that the Patriots are the fourth most talented team right now.
So you're telling me there's a chance? Yes,
not
I am.
Not
the kind
of chance you want.
No, I'm telling you straight up. I can tell you a bunch of things I know, or at least I believe the Jets are going to do well this year, including bumping Corey Davis down to a third and fourth receiver, having Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore. That's elite level talent at the position. It all hinges on whatever little Zachy boy, Cupie Pie, does at quarterback this year. They got a great running back room now with Michael Carter and Breece Hall, who's a certified bona fide stud. And then you look at their defense. Secondary's not bad. Linebacking core is okay. But their D-line, with Quinn and Nelson, and then you actually, if Carl Lawson comes back to health, lined up opposite whatever the potential of Jermaine Johnson is, like, Jets aren't going to suck. Everyone needs to prepare for it to rain frogs on the first day of the 2022 season. Up is the new down, left is the new right. The Jets may not suck that bad anymore.
What you could have done is you could have stolen some of that talent because the Jets weren't going to draft Cole Strange, and you could have taken Jermaine Johnson. You could have taken away one of their favorite players on their board, a top 10 player on their board. You could have got him at 21. Right. You could have put him opposite Matthew Judon, and you could have had two double-digit sack guys, and instead you went with a guard. You went with a freaking guard.
Okay, so you went with a guard. Come on, guys. Come on. I'm just as upset about it now. But instead of crying about it, why don't we now deduce, or at least like try to figure out for just a minute, let's crawl into the bizarre library of lightning and owls and footballs and clocks that is Bill Belichick's mind and figure out just for a second, what was he thinking? What?
I can tell you what it is. And I hit this. I'm going to brush it off a little bit here because I'm going to take a victory lap.
Are you popping a collar?
I did this months ago, and I told everybody, get ready, reset year. I was told I was a buffoon. I was dumb. There's no way Belichick would hit the reset button. Why would we ever do that? We already no. You and I had this very specific discussion.
I believe the phrase was tank adjacent.
Yeah, more or less. Wiggy said tank. I said reset. And it is because you are full resetting this year. This team, this roster, just not good enough. I'm sorry. It's not going to get you to the playoffs. It's not going to get you anywhere close. And on top of that, what happens next year? He loses. He takes takes some money off the cap, ends up with $100 million in cap, has some more draft picks, lets his rookies that he really liked, right? The guys that he was high on come in and develop for a year so that they're ready for 2023, and then all of a sudden maybe you're a competitor in 2023 because you struck on a couple free agents, you lost a couple guys that you didn't really need anymore and were probably bad signings, and your rookies have started to grow.
Okay.
That's best case scenario.
You know he has a boss, right?
Yep.
He has a boss that is the boss, Robert Kraft. And he has made it quite clear he expects to contend every year. He was not happy that they didn't make the playoffs.
He was not, to pull from one of my favorite 1980s movies, he won't stand for baloney, you know. He won't.
Right.
Well, like, no. Like,
he was not going to be happy this year,
not,
either.
No, see, I can't. See, it can't
So is he
be,
on board with a tank?
No, God, no. It can't be a reset, Shime. You can't go full reset this year.
It has to be. What? There's no other explanation to this because you didn't address you didn't draft a single linebacker when everyone on the planet has talked about how you need to get faster at linebacker.
Well, they're excited about the guys they have.
Exactly, Chime.
I'm real excited about Raekwon McMillan and Juwan Bentley as my linebacker.
Well, I happen to know for a fact they're fans of yours, Chime. So shame on you. No, I mean this is to me like, listen, honestly, like I don't know if this is Bill just being Bill. Andy, you worked for the organization for 20 years. I'm a peripheral part timer down there, mostly like you said, engaged in the fan service. But as far as like the inner workings inside the sanctuary and the way Bill and company go about business, you'd probably have the greatest clue as to any of us. I don't think in any way, shape, or form, this is a rebuild, this is a full reset, or this is a tankaroo year at all. If anything, Shime, I think he believes in that same way, like, remember when they got beat pretty roundly by Houston in December of 2020, and we were all shocked because we thought they were clearing out a path to the playoffs. But then Houston and Deshaun Watson put on a clinic and ate their lunch. And Belichick said after the game, like, well, we threw for 350 yards. That was one of those things where it's like, yeah, but Bill, you lost. Like, he just gets hooked on these things sometimes, these numbers, these players, these ideals. And I think he truly believes that because they spent draft capital and money on these linebackers, that he'll be damned if he doesn't see what he still has in Josh Uche and Raekwon McMillan and Terez Hall and a re-signed Juwan Bentley and Cameron McGrone. Like, it may be a bad process, but he also might strike gold. Either that, or they truly believe these guys can play because he isn't just zagging for the sake of it because everyone else said, okay, Bill, time to zig.
I think he's a little too set in his ways. He's like, these are the guys at the top of my board. All I heard after the draft, too, the media doesn't realize how short of a board the Patriots have. Just because you have a short board doesn't mean you need to overextend to acquire those guys.
And as
that is bad process.
And as charcuterie guys, Shime, we both know you can make a great board out of a long board. You can make a bad charcuterie board out of a long board. You can make a tremendous charcuterie board on a short board. It's just a matter of who those guys are. And I think what vexed Patriots fans and has flummoxed us up to this point is the fact that there were all of these quality players that everyone else who watches football, analyzes football, mock drafts football, has played football, other general managers, coaches, they all said, these are the guys that we think belong at the top of the board or that can fill needs on our team, albeit a different system. And Belichick said, yeah, we have different guys. Like, I understand other teams have won the Super Bowl. I understand there are many different ways to skin a cat. But why in the world would he have a short board full of other guys when you would think that short board would be stocked full of the talent everyone else said was ready and available to come out? That's the thing that I'm still trying to, like, figure out.
I believe that he believes what he's doing is right. These are good football players with the skill set they want, the mentality they want, the value they want, all of those things. It doesn't mean he's right. And as his boss man has pointed out, His drafting has been questionable at best over the last
I would venture to say outside of last year, it has been subpar.
Yes, and Robert said that basically I was trying to be nice.
And the crazy thing, Andy, is that last year they drafted – they did this nutty thing last year. They drafted for need and did a lot of trade-ups and best available, and they end up hitting multiple home runs that have reset a portion of the base of this team and given it a competitive future going forward. So we all thought, like, all right, the other voices in the room. I know Ziegler was there. He's gone. But Elliot Wolf and Matt Groh, like, they're influencing Bill and the draft process the right way. And then it just returns right back to one of these, like, everyone else said George Pickens or John Mechie or Christian Watts, whatever. Like, I know some of those guys were gone in advance, but everyone else said these are the receivers or these are the corners.
And yeah, I'm fine with him not picking people that we have deemed great,
right?
I'm okay with that, but do it at positions that you needed more and of our more value, right? If he goes out and takes a lineman, similar to what the Saints did a couple years ago, they traded up and they take Marcus Davenport at I think it might have been like South Dakota State or something
It was University of Texas San Antonio, I think.
So like UTSA, right? So he is it's a guy that probably wasn't as high on a lot of people's draft boards, but he had conviction about it at a position you desperately needed. Instead, you took a step back by trading away Shaq Mason, and you barely took a step forward by drafting a guard in the first round. If he had took some no-name if Cole Strange was a defensive end that he loved at a UT Chattanooga, I'm here for it. If he was a cornerback he loved out of UTSA, I'm here for it. That's what bugs me. Is it's not the player. It's not having him on the draft board. It's that you didn't address you only addressed an area of need that you created.
Let me tell you, in moments of the draft or auxiliary content surrounding the draft that really chapped my ass, watching the video that the Buffalo Bills. And look at them just like, you know, high on the hog. Look at them, the cock of the walk. They are just like on top of the roost these days. The video that they released via their social media of their pre-draft meeting with Kair Elam, the cornerback out of Florida.
They loved him.
They love this kid. He in addition to the fact that he has all the tools, that he's got the right size and a high compete and played, you know, in the NFL of college football, the SEC, this kid comes into their pre-draft meeting with a book that he has prepared himself on coverages, schemes, things he did wrong, showcasing ways that he has tried to correct it. This kid's basically posturing himself as like somebody who would, you know, subscribe to the TB12 times of playing a cornerback. Like he's like consumes and devours football. You would think that somebody like that would scream Belichick and Patriots so badly, they would move heaven and earth and anything else that stood in the way to get him, as opposed to, no disrespect to Marcus Jones, Jack Jones, Marvin Jones, Nora Jones, or anyone else, Indiana Jones. I don't care. You think when you have that level elite talent, but no, you'd get after an Elam. And instead, they fall in love with a guard. And I don't care how good Cole Strange is, people. I think all of us here, and I hope everyone listening right now on the first episode of Six Rings can agree, Cole Strange might very well turn out to be a good football player. But you could have found 85% of what Cole Strange does later on, and you're going to have a harder time finding 100 to 120% of what you needed in the earlier rounds, and you had the chance, and the Pats decided to pursue a different path.
Just like we've decided to pursue a different path and call ourselves Six Rings and Football Things, your new favorite Patriots podcast. We're all family here. We're all angry here. Well, I guess not everybody. I guess there are some Patriots fans who, I'll say, are twisting themselves into a more positive take in Bill We Trust take. They're better fans than Fitzy. They've been able to conjure up positive reactions to the draft.
I don't know why that has to be about me, but go ahead. You just keep doing Andy Hart things.
I'm going to. It's part of the new
whatever it is that fills that little black licorice jelly bean that you call a heart with happiness. Go right ahead.
It may grow three sizes and still have plenty of room in that cavity to keep on growing. But if you want to keep listening to the first time I said it. Like
quarter in the jar, kid. Quarter in the jar, Andy.
San Diego Chargers, the Oakland Raiders, and the Off Day Podcast. No longer we are Six Rings and Football Things. Follow us on Twitter, Nick Fitzy Stevens. What are you, Fitzy GFY on Twitter?
Don't pretend that you don't know. You clap back at and quote tweet every other thing that I tweet.
I do. Occasionally. I'm at Jumbo Hart. He's Shime Time, right?
Yep.
Nailed it.
And we will be Six Rings and Football Things on Twitter at some point, but our technological people are catching up with the talents, as I always like to say. Mm-hmm. We are just giving hot takes on the 2022 NFL Draft. And at some point, they will catch up with us. But listen to the podcast on Odyssey.com, the Odyssey app, or as Fitzy likes to say, wherever the hell you damn well please and like to listen to your podcasts.
Proudly part of the 2400 sports movement at Odyssey as well. Spotify, your favorite Apple, wherever you get your pods. Guys, I wanted to ask you real quick. Okay, so let's imagine that some of these players, like we said, do make positive contributions this season or multiple seasons going forward. Some of them actually break through the hot take morass, the floodgates of negativity that have opened up over the past couple of days. They find ways to coach them up. They fill gaps and needs along the different schemes as the Patriots' offense and defense both evolve this season and beyond. Who is your favorite draft pick, and what kind of impact do you think that they're going to make? Shime, I think I know who Andy's is. I'm not sure if you guys know mine. I want to go to you first.
I've actually changed my opinion in the last 48 hours. Right after the draft, I felt like it was Marcus Jones. Having done more research, I actually really like Pierre Strong.
Oh, my man, yes. State. Thank you. That's my guy.
I watched tape on this guy. I love the way he runs. I think he runs. He's very Darren McFadden-esque. It's explosive in and out of cuts. It was weird because
what was your favorite? Was it Southwest Dakota State? Was it North Jepipe School of the Blind?
I love the 1600 yards he had.
I think it was when South Dakota State took on Blow It Out Your Ass University. That's.
No, but I think when I watched him run, I didn't quite register the 4.37 speed at first. Mm-hmm. And so I think why I didn't register that, and I haven't looked at the splits. I probably should go do that. But he explodes out of cuts. And I don't want to say it like this, but in a way that reminds me of a guy like Adrian Peterson in that one cut explosion. I'm not putting these lofty expectations on
the Patriots drafted the next Adrian Peterson.
Honestly, Shime, you put a brownie sundae in front of me, and now you're just like doing a salt bay, and there might be a little caramel to come afterwards, because that's exactly. That not only might we be able to get,
it's awesome. He plays so good.
You could, Andy, the thing that I have been banging the drum that time, I have a separate little drum. There are multiple drums involved in the pod. I would told there was a BYOD bring your own drum policy here in the podcast. Normally the drum that I use is one that you roll up and you like smoke when you've made a couple of bad decisions outside of a bar late at night. So I have been saying, God, like you need some sort of like quick, shifty, twitch related, or twitchy wide receiver, someone to fill in for Edelman, be that guy. Maybe that role's evolving. Who knows? You may see the jacked up Jacoby Myers, Kendrick Bourne, and others try to carry that torch. Or maybe that role will be de-emphasized in the offense. But you absolutely have to keep this legacy, the lineage of the use of a third down back, which has been one of the keys to the Patriots offense for 20 plus years going. And there is no James White behind James White. The man could barely walk a couple of months ago. He's not fully rehabilitated from that badass hip injury that he suffered against the Saints last September. You need a potential heir to the throne. And I know he doesn't have the softest hands in the world, Andy, and he only had 60 some odd catches in college. But to combine his productivity, his power and speed with decent hands that hopefully you can coach up over time, and maybe you can use him in multiple ways, I think a guy like Pierre Strong, and then when you consider the fact Damian Harris may not be on the team next year, is a home run pick. It was my favorite value pick.
So before Andy retorts, I want to counter Fitzy just a little bit in that I don't even think that he's going to be a third down back guy, right? I think this pick to me screams a bit of a shift in the philosophy there, where it's not necessarily one and two down back, third down back. It is two guys in Ramondre and in Pierre Strong who can play on any of the three downs.
I agree.
And so that way,
I don't think
you're not telegramming what you're doing.
I don't think it was Strong that signaled that. I think Stevenson started that.
Yes, I agree with you.
You compared Pierre Strong to Adrian Peterson. I compared Ramondre Stevenson to Le'Veon Bell. So we're all doing our
I compared him to Aaron Jones last year. So I'm in.
So I think he's better, quite personally. I think Strong has to prove he can make a significant jump in competition level and protect Mac
Jones.
So does
Cole Strange.
Like, I mean, yeah, but Cole Strange is protected. When he screws up, he's got David Andrews here and Trent Brown here or Isaiah Wynn over here.
Yeah, did you see Travis Jones eat his lunch, though?
All right.
He ain't going to have help with that.
All right, I know. A lot has been, much ado has been made about next to nothing in a viral clip that really doesn't
suck. I know, I'm sorry.
Matt Leick
go ahead, Andy. I apologize.
Because I can give you clips of Matt Leick looking like a terrible offensive lineman against Jason Taylor.
True.
Sometimes there's bad matchups. Sometimes you lose the matchup. There's no shame in it. You lose
and also, could we just talk about whatever the play call was? He's shifting over to center. The reports on Cole Strange at the Senior Bowl were largely positive. And also, maybe this isn't so much a Cole Strange issue as it is, WTF was everyone thinking letting Travis Jones fall all the way to the fourth
round?
We
even talked about him. That guy can play.
That's a meat eater right there. Damn, that guy can get after it.
I wouldn't have said it that way, but sure, yes.
He's a healthy boy.
He's a different, he could, he'll be good. He'll be a tree stump. He'll be a
well
fire
fed.
Hydrant. A meat eater, I guess, means the same thing. I'm not familiar with that.
Great meat hooks on him.
Yeah, I mean, he's healthy.
So you guys know, speaking of healthy, a guy I hope is healthy because I want to see play. So there's the freak that I want to see in training camp, and his name, I don't mean that in a bad way, by the way. This is a positive freak.
No.
Is Tyquan Thornton. I just want to see how fast he is because you can tell me he runs a 40 fast, but I want to see him on a football field with at least a helmet on running toward a football fast because Bethel Johnson is my measuring stick. He's the fastest Patriot I ever saw. He could go get the football. When the ball was in the air, he said, you know what? I got that cliche alert, mm-hmm. extra gear, and go get it. So Tyquan Thornton, I'm intrigued by just because the speed. You know, Eric Edholm told Mutt and I on WEEI, he thinks that Thornton is one of the four or five fastest people in the National Football League right now. I'm intrigued by that. Marcus Jones, to me, is the guy most likely to have an obvious positive impact on this team. We said it. When we had our little Gunnar Olszewski, Nick's Fitzy Stevens is turning his back on you debate earlier, mm-hmm. that you can have an impact still on punt returns. You can change games. Gunnar did that a couple of years ago, got all pro recognition. I think Jones is special in that area with the ball in his hands. And assuming his shoulders are healthy, because he had two shoulder surgeries in December and February, one on each different shoulder.
It's always great to draft a guy with two bum shoulders coming into the NFL, but that's fine.
The good news is when you catch a punt, you can catch it down here. You don't actually have to lift your arms above your head with your shoulders that are just surgically repaired. So just kind of catch it, hunt it in, and run.
Basket.
Yeah, basket catch it. But I'm really intrigued by the Marcus Johnson pick because I don't – and then the versatility. Like even if he's not a true corner, what does Bill always say? If you're on the roster for the game because you're the punt returner, Lord only knows what happens. You may be in at corner, and then you may prove once you get in there.
Ask Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, I'm short, but I can actually contribute at corner.
Ask Julian Edelman.
Anybody.
Ask Troy Brown. Ask anybody who's had to flip.
Like, you get one opportunity, and you take advantage of it. More opportunities will come.
Or he could fill in at receiver. There's that hole. He's been on offense. He could be a gimmick guy. What
the Jamal Agnew idea.
There's a definite – I think there's a prevailing thought that flexibility going forward as the Patriots try to figure out – both how to keep up offensively and in a preventative capacity on defense with some of these offenses that are just completely magnified and turbocharged right now. Like they you're going to see, like I said earlier, you're going to see offense and defense where guys are borrowed and used in multiple capacities because they need the best available speed, length, athleticism, coverage, and more at any given time. I don't know. Marcus Jones, the fact that he scored touchdowns four different ways, punt returner, interception, wide receiver, kickoff returner in college, tells me that everybody should expect to have the extent of their versatility stretched and tested early on and frequently on the 2022 Patriots and going forward. I love it.
So as we start to put a bow, as you guys like to say, on this draft, just what's
I don't
your
really like to say it, but, you know, people say we say it.
I know you're old school. You like to say like, oh, he opened up his purse strings to sign a free agent. You got a lot of those old school cliches you like to throw around.
Yeah, he likes to ask if a hot dog's a sandwich.
Yeah, I mean, he's
Listen, if you were the one stuck in that Tuukka Rask interview with a bunch of ding-dongs that the Greg Hill Show had brought in, and they were all like, hey, Tuukka, so you like hockey?
Well, we had a professional on today tell you that it is not a sandwich, but Andy, continue.
So my biggest takeaway, like we've already questioned the value, the guard pick, but my biggest takeaway is a question that Matt Groh was asked in his day three press conference on Zoom. Very simple question. Are you a better football team today than last time we saw you play? And he said, that's complicated. You know why it's complicated? Because the answer is no, and you can't say no because you'd get in trouble if you just said no.
Bingo.
But you can't believe that he actually believes that, Andy, or you can't believe, obviously, you know, he wouldn't come out and say that, but you can't believe that he believes that, because if he says yes right now, then he's writing checks, if you will. Who still writes checks? Nick Fitzy Stevens. He's writing checks. He's using his Apple card. He's using his Apple card without sufficient funds in the account. How about that? Okay. His Apple Pay. Is that good?
Yeah. If I asked, and they may not articulate it, but we can observe the Patriots and we can answer the question. Also, I would say there's people in Las Vegas that observe, say, the Raiders. The Raiders are a better football team than the last time we saw them play.
Hell yeah, they are. Damn's right.
It's not complicated damn for rights. Them, right? It's not complicated.
Damn right.
The answer is damn rights. Thank you, Tom Brady Sr.
But they were in a different position than the Patriots. We can't, like,
how? They made the playoffs and got bounced in the first round as well. And they went and added one of the best receivers in football and then made draft picks on draft day.
How great were the Raiders draft? Which Raiders draft pick did you love?
Devontae Adams.
The one they traded for Devontae Adams.
How you like them apples, Nick? That's my point. It's only complicated if you're lying. It's like a politician. Well, that's a very complicated gambling in the state of Massachusetts. Well, very complicated. Yes. We couldn't possibly talk about that.
Well, there's a lot to unpack there, Andrew.
New Hampshire, two states that are touching us.
Maine just legalized it, by the way.
They all figured it out. So it's not that complicated. You just make it complicated. The Patriots are not a better football team right now. And all they are banking on is improvement from within. The only thing the Nick Fitzy Stevens of the world can sell themselves on is Mac Jones takes a huge jump. Christian Barmore takes a huge jump. Ramondre Stevenson, huge jump. Damian Harris is now like a 1,500-yard back. Everybody on the roster that you counted on a year ago, you're counting on even more in 2022.
That Jabril Peppers actually makes a difference in their nine safety defense that they'll unveil at some point during the season. Mac Wilson, Cameron McGrone, Josh Uche season. Like there's a lot. Yeah, Andy, yeah, we brought it up earlier. We've said it before. We said it on the radio. We'll probably get involved internally as well as with others in clapbackathons about who we think is going to make a difference that's already on the roster. This is a clear and resonant message to those players, like it's put up or shut the blank up time for these guys. And if I were one of those guys, I'd be psyched. I would be over the moon, and I would be ready to run through a freaking brick wall for Groh, Patricia, Belichick et al., because he has shown faith that you could make a difference in this year's football team, Shime. Not going forward, because it's not a tank season. They can make a difference on this year's football team. It is nice to come back full circle on my Pat's positivity. Let's go.
Well, at least one of us is positive today.
Right. And I agree there's opportunities for guys. I just think sometimes people fail to take advantage of opportunities and people realize, oh, the old Peter principle. You ascend up to the level upon which you fail and you're not ready to contribute at that level. But that's a little negative tone. I do want to stay positive. And the positive thing I want to talk about is six rings and football things podcast. Don't stick at me. I will come through and beat the living snot out of you. We all stumble a little bit on her. I've heard you get your name wrong on the radio. So
I have.
My favorite drop of all time is Fitzy going, and that's what's twending. That's right. I said twending.
Lop it off, John. I call James White James Bite on the air. That's fine.
You say that.
Jeez. These things happen, Andy, but just because I can laugh at myself doesn't mean I can't also laugh at you. And you know, you would probably do well to actually take yourself a little less seriously, you big hump of hardo. Come on.
You can't actually think of myself seriously. I have a short sleeve hoodie on and an orange visor. Who thinks I take myself seriously?
By the way, I'll go ahead and answer that tweet you put out about the Gresham Keefe video. Do I look silly in this outfit? Yes, you do.
You look like a Monmouth lacrosse coach.
Okay, so we're crossing over into that. I didn't realize how silly I looked until I saw it on video. Like I got out of the house and spent an entire day in the station.
What are you, sitting Shiva at home and you've blacked out all the mirrors? Take a look at yourself before you leave the house, you knucklehead.
I threw on a hoodie and a visor. It's kind of what I do all the time.
That's the theme of the first episode. Take a look at yourself before you walk out of the house.
That's probably some great advice. Bill Belichick, Andy Hart, we all need to take a look at ourselves, look in the mirror, and see what you did. And for Bill Belichick, what you did was the 2022 NFL draft, and I'm not sure how great you feel about it. maybe go back to Nantucket, see if there's a second week of the Daffodil Festival where you can walk beside the car where somehow you didn't get a seat, but your dog did and your girlfriend did and everybody else did. But the Patriots.
He was getting in his steps, Andy. He's getting ready for the season. All right.
And that I like that, staying healthy. But the first ever six rings in football things is in the rearview mirror. And I truly hope people enjoy whatever the dynamic idiocy and community that Fitzy, Chris Scheim, and myself bring to the table, because we want interaction. We're going to open up an email address. We're going to take emails. We eventually may do live shows, live streams, take callers. We want this to be, as Nick likes to say on our weekend show, two-way interactive sports talk where we take your ideas, we mock them, you take our ideas, you mock them, and we're all happy because we're all getting mocked, and I think that's the way it should be.
Well, what a positive note to end on, Andy. Thanks so much. Wow. Hey, Scheim, what happened? Andy Hart disappeared and Ted Lasso popped in.
That's the visor. That's what it is.
So that's going to put the wraps on the first ever Six Rings and Football Things podcast. For Nick Fitzy Stevens, who promises to be more positive and not a Jets fan in our next meeting. For Chris Scheim, who I can't promise will be more positive in our next meeting because I'm not sure he's going to be this draft and over the offseason, and he still hates Mac Jones. And
trade for Debo Samuel, and I might change.
Okay, trade for Debo Samuel, Bill Belichick, and you'll have Chris Scheim on board. Bill, I've been with you all along since we first got together in 2000 back at Foxborough Stadium. I've been with you for the entire time, the entire ride. As Bill once told me in the locker room, Andy, thanks for your support. We know you're with us, win or tie. Hey, Bill. Not win or loss. So, yes, Bill, I'm still around. And we have a new podcast. It's a new day in Patriot Nation. Fitzy, wrap us up with something funny.
All right. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Bring in the dancing lobsters.